But I finally reached a point where I was at rock bottom. I didn't have anything left. I didn't have another change of clothes. I didn't have another dollar. I didn't have another friend. I didn't have another place to crash. I didn't have another solution. I didn't have another fix. I didn't have another drug or a drink. And I had to have something that would last me. And I had one of those moments in my heart where I began to recall, just like the queen spoken to the king, that there is a place that you can go. I'm talking about a church of God right now. The people in the world need to be able to know that you've got Jesus in you, too. The point that when they get in trouble, they'll be able to say, "Don't you know brother and sister so and so?" So that you can call them, because they have the Spirit of the Lord. God wants to be that much in your life. And I'm going to say something profound and not often taught, but anything you put before God, He is a jealous God, and He does give and He does take. And don't think just because you celebrate and your success today, that if you put it before God, that you'd get to keep it. I went from being able to sing a few songs in church to getting so far away from God, I couldn't even get my hands in the right place to play a guitar chord. Because you cannot continue to have in your life what God had called to prosper if you're choosing to live for another master. He said there's only two masters, and you can only love one and hate the other. What a bad representation to be if we are a Christian that has no fire. What a bad representation to be, to be someone that could claim to interpret somebody's trouble, but walk up to it and have no idea what to do with it. When we don't operate in the Holy Ghost, and somebody needs an answer, when we go up to the situation, we have no idea what to tell them. We don't know how to pray for them. We don't know how to lay on of hands. We don't know whether to jump, whether to clap, whether to shout. And the Spirit of God wants to be so close in your life that you'll know exactly what to do, that you'll know the will of the Father, that you'll understand what He has in store for you. So Daniel comes to this, and the first thing he says is that he doesn't want his rewards. He doesn't want a salary to be a pastor. Daniel had lived a great life, and after he had been forgotten in the temple, he lived a very private and secluded life. But as he come to this situation, he didn't forget where he come from. He didn't forget where he had been. He didn't forget about the times he was abandoned. And he always remembered who it was that was his strength. And it was very plain to him when he saw the interpretation that was wrote upon the wall. Because let me tell you, there can be a situation that somebody's going through that you may be the only one that has the encouragement to tell them. And the Lord wants you to be ready in season and out of season, that when they begin to come into the house of God, that you'll be ready to help them in their trouble. I want to read just a little bit of what he told him. Verse 22 in chapter 5, and it says, "And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven. And they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords, thy wives, and thy concubines have drunk wine in them. And thou hast praised the gods of silver, gold, brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not." That's important. He's talking about the idolatry. They don't see your problems. I mean, kids today are so consumed in their phones, so consumed in social media, and they don't realize that there is no satisfaction in what they're looking for. They're going after attention, and even when they get it, it's not the right kind. And even when they get acknowledged, it still doesn't bring peace. There are things out there that if we put it before Him, it cannot help our problems. "Which see not, nor hear, nor know. And the God it is who in thy hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways hast thou not glorified." Then that was the part of the hand sent from him. And this writing was written, and this is the writing that was written. Mene teko yufarsin. This is the interpretation. "God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. Thy kingdom is divided and given to Medes and the Persians." Then commanded Belshazzar, and he gave Daniel the reward, put the gold around his neck. And that night, after he received that word, he was slain. And here is what little bit I have to give to you. Don't wait and put off prayer Don't wait and put off worshiping till next week when hopefully it'll be a better service. Don't wait to amen the preacher when you know that it's the truth. Don't wait to get into His presence and use the gifts and callings that you're given, because the day may come when the enemy comes to you and will cause you to be tempted in a greater way than you were able to bear on your own. And in those moments when you don't have the strength of God to prevail, you will lose what is dear to you. He doesn't want you to live your life and feel like everything has to be taken away. He wants you to be blessed. He wants you to have things. He wants you to have good wealth. He wants you to have good health. He wants you to have sound mind. But if you're going to put other things before God, then we'll lose the very things that we take for granted. Today I walk in peace, but tomorrow if I gave in to those things, I could lose it. I haven't heard the expression "lose my marbles" in a long time. And the brother back there said, I can't afford to lose anymore. And I can't either. I'm telling you this because I feel it in my spirit. Don't wait until the writing is on the wall. Don't wait until you can't even understand what God is trying to tell you. Don't wait until the moment happens when you're going to lose what you had already gained in Him. Because there's a hell that's coming one day, friends. Burning like a fire is going to come, and everything that we held dear before God, we're not taking a thing of it with us. And there's going to be a place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. The only thing that will happen is eternal suffering. And I don't want to go there. And I don't want anybody that I know to go there. But I also know that we've got to do better than what we're doing to send a stronger message that when people are in trouble, they don't turn to rehab, they don't turn to psychiatrists, they don't turn to therapy, but they'll turn to Jesus Christ, because that is the only way that leads to life. It's the only way that leads to peace. It's the only way that'll lead to the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And the world needs that today. And we don't need to sit around and celebrate the success of the past. We need to trudge on a new path that God has given us to go. And we already know the way. I'm a guy that got it together, not on the first try, but I'm a guy that was saved by a second chance. Not everybody gets that. So maybe you've wondered why I do what I do, why I perceive to be so intense and full of energy and right in your face about the situation. I'm not going to take a chance on going back to who I was. I am not stepping back to who I was. I don't want to be that guy that was afraid to worship. I don't want to be that guy that was afraid to pray. I don't want to be that guy that was afraid to preach the truth. I don't want to be one of those members of one of those churches that nobody ever remembers, that can't even remember who the pastor is, can't even remember who used to sing in the choir. I want to leave a mark on this world that when they remember what I did in my life, they'll see Jesus Christ in it. I want my church to be remembered as a place that was that people could come and receive help in a time of trouble. Because they're getting fewer. They're getting fewer. We have more social established programs than we do an opportunity for the free flow of the anointing. We have more places that it's so programmed that you can't even stand up and say thank you, God, in a certain hour and moment in time. And bless God, I know that everybody has their ways and traditions. But if you don't have a place where the anointing can be free, friend, I'd be seeking for another place to go. This is not something everybody shouts on. This is not something everybody dances to. But this is something everybody's going to face. When we drift, the only way back is Jesus Christ. The only way is through Him. He died for you so that you didn't have to go out the way Belshazzar did. Because we've all done enough where that's what we deserved. But Jesus Christ died so that we could live by grace, and that we could know His mercy, and that even though that we've stumbled, we can get back up again and be even stronger than we were before. I'm stronger today, not from my success, but from the times I got back up after I'd failed. I'm stronger today, not from the times that I danced, but from the times I praised Him, even when I Even when I couldn't even get a hand in the air to praise Him, I'm stronger today from nights like this where it seems like it's hard to do things, but yet I'm going to keep on going anyway. I'm here tonight to tell somebody, it might be hard, it might be tough, but don't drift away from the only thing that's going to get you through this. You've got to have it, you've got to know it, and you've got to keep it. Ephesians chapter 5 says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ hath loved us, and hath given himself us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you." Don't even let it be a part of you. Don't even let it be a part of your reputation. Change your way of life as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Isn't that powerful? That's powerful. "For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." Your blessings are hinging on the fact that you are going to stay in the presence of God and in His will. Your blessings are contingent on that. You can't drift out there and expect everything to be perfect, because God will remove things from you if you're not going to let it be for His glory. He will take things from you unless you're going to live your life for Him. Even as far as Samson had strayed and failed, God still gave him enough for one last push. And even though he had failed often and gave away his very source of strength, and it had been taken, how many of you know that it was God through him that caused him to show God to be mighty? When his heart turned to the Lord, he was then mighty once more. He didn't need the long hair anymore to prove who he was. So we can't bask in our strength, because it might not be here tomorrow. We can't bask in our finances, and we cannot base how blessed we are on how much we've got, because it is not defined by what you own, what you possess, what you've ever possessed, or what you've ever done in this world. You're not defined by that. You're defined by what you have been brought out of, what you have been redeemed with, and what has been paid for you to have eternal life. "Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be ye therefore not partakers with them." Verse 15, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." In verse 16, one of my favorites, "redeeming the time, because the days are evil." You were redeemed by Christ so that you could redeem today. You were saved by Him so that you can make today better. He didn't want you to dwell in a place where you could only lose everything. But He said, isn't it amazing that He said to them, don't carry scrip, don't carry purse. And He told the rich man, He said, sell all you have and follow Me. And He was trying to tell him, it's not in what you've got that can cause you to be a follower of Me, but it's what I can do for you that causes you to be strong. So let's stop looking at what we can only see with our eyes, hear with our ears, and interpret with our senses as the true will of our life. And let's get our eyes on the Lord by faith and just focus upon the things He would have us to do, because when we get in His will, nothing else can prosper. No weapon formed against us can prosper. Why are you going to this trouble, brother? Why are you boring us with the same old thoughts over and over again? Well, I'm here to tell you that this is a warning to you tonight. I don't have any other way to say it. My heart's grieved. I was grieved when I prayed. Don't let the writing get on the wall and wait till it's too late before you get your feet back on the foundation of Christ. Don't wait until you begin to lose the things that you have grown to be accustomed to having before you realign your life with Christ. Don't wait so long to obey Him that you forget even how to obey Him. Don't wait till a season comes that when you should have the strength to do it that you do not. Because the devil is coming for us. He is as a roaring lion, not intimidated by our success, not intimidated by anything we have to say to Him, not even intimidated by our faith. Did you know that? Satan's not intimidated when you speak by faith. He's intimidated by Christ. He's intimidated by God. So when we use God to our progress, the enemy cannot stay when we dwell in the presence of the Lord. Light and darkness have no fellowship, so that tells me when I bask in his presence, the devil has no place to sit. I am learning and growing, and I am going to be stronger because I'm going to look at the things that's in me that can be better and let God help me to be stronger. I could do more. Some of you might think, you don't need to do any more, brother. You already do enough. But we can all do more. And I'm not even talking about this couple hours of time that we're giving up. I'm talking about when we get outside the world. I had a moment with my boss the other day that I didn't know if he actually acknowledged the workload that he was putting on me. Because I've been quite frustrated with how much I've had to do. And I was walking in there one day, and out of the blue, he said, I hope you're able to handle this. And if you only knew the amount of times I went through my mind about what exactly I was going to say when that come up. If I can only count on both hands and feet all the times that I had something different to say. But something happened. And I just looked at him and I said, it's going to be all right. And I'm thinking, out of all the things other people have probably told him, what a bum-fuzzling thing to hear from somebody that you're trying to overwhelm that it's going to be okay. What a slap in the face to Satan when you look back at him when he pushes against you and say, it shall be well. What a black eye to the devil when you can get up and have a good day when everybody around you is having a bad day. What an example that you can set by never having to throw a Bible at anybody, not having to condemn them for what they do in their life. What a difference we can make just by living what he told us to live. To love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. What a difference we can make if we only would do that God has called us to do. And circumspectly tells me in plain speak, to walk it in a way that can be seen, heard, and understood. If people have to wonder if you love God, if they have to wonder if you're a Christian, then we're not showing enough love to prove the difference. Because you have an opportunity to redeem the time. Because you know what? There was a time that someone redeemed it for you. Christ came as our Redeemer, and he took us in a time that we didn't deserve it. And every single week, I will confess, I get tired. I wonder, what more could I bring to the table that they probably think they've already heard me say? And I think to myself, what do I even have to give anymore? What can I do to make a difference? What can I say that'll make people know that I'm all in? What can I do? And as I begin to pray, the Lord just show me, just keep me first. And if you keep me first, all these other things, they'll be added to me. So I'm not going to fight my boss and tell him all those things I thought about. And I'm not going to have an odd against my neighbor over some foolishness. I don't have time for that. If you've got a problem with me, you might as well enjoy your time with it, because I'm not got a problem with you. You can get mad at me all you want to, because you're the only one that's going to be mad. I don't have time for foolishness. God told us not to dwell in foolishness, didn't he? He told us to move forward in our things. He wanted us to not worry about when people come against us. He wants us to be strong in him and have a boldness to stand. So I fight in a new way. I wrote a book on it, fighting a different fight. Fighting a fight with God's love. That's how I win my battles now. To have heard me talk a long time ago and for you to have seen me then. Oh, friend. Oh, what a fool I was. That's the only person I can say on behalf of. On behalf of myself, I will say I was a fool. But isn't it wonderful that God didn't leave us there? We're no longer as we were, but we are as we are, as he is in us. So don't walk amongst the fools. Don't put yourself in bad company. Don't allow temptation to continually sit in your life. Get rid of it. Push it out of your life and cause God to be first. Because if you've got a problem and people are arguing against you, you're going to have to face that thing one way or another. And I've had to ask for forgiveness, even for things I didn't even think I should have had to. Because until I did, I didn't feel free in my spirit. There's been times that I've had to obey him and go beyond the call of duty that I thought I had to do to reach the level that he is wanting us to be in. I want you to be blessed more than anything in the world. I want to see a smile on your face as soon as you burst into the house of God. I want to see you dancing and enjoying your life while you still have life to live. But we've got to stop drifting. All of us. We have got to learn to use what we have been given to use. Those golden vessels represented God's will that he had for them. A temple he had for them. An opportunity for them to grow and prosper. But instead they took it and they squandered it and they used it as an example against God. And you might think just because you're sitting in a pew that you're good to go. But places can get in such disarray that a place that says that they're for God are in fact against it. Because I've been some places where when the anointing got a little too strong, there was a place that they had called us to sing, said sing four or five. We got through with two. God was beginning to move powerfully. And that pastor sprung right up and got over there and he said, "Are you all done?" I was like, "Well, I guess we are." I've been to places before when I went to preach that I had the pastor come from a distance to come and turn my Bible around and make sure he's got the right version. That's true. What do you do in that situation, brother? You smile. Go on. You got no point to prove there. I don't want you to wait till it's too late. If I never get another chance to preach here, I love you. But I'm not going to go away from here and have any regrets. You've got to understand, there will be a moment where your trouble will be present with what can bring you out. And until you embrace the way of escape, you will not come through. And if you continue to let the enemy linger, he will destroy all that you have. And I don't want you to get to that place. I don't want you to have to hope that you get a second chance. Because not everybody does. Belshazzar did not. The kingdoms that even went beyond that did not. There's individuals that I saw with such great anointings, Doris. Start out ready to be preaching for God. On fire, had it all together. And a few things begin to cause their life to compromise. And before you know it, it's a has-been. Somebody that you used to know about that could preach. Somebody that you used to know that could sing. And you know what began to happen? Everything that they used to love and enjoy had been taken. Because when they were called to do something different and be separate, they compromised. He doesn't want us to be complacent. Doesn't want us to sit in here and compromise and say, "This is all right in my life and I'm going to leave it here," and still try to continue and prosper in God. Because it will not happen. That's the truth. And that's what I'll leave you with tonight. Yeah, it's a crazy word. Yeah, it's something way different than normal. But I don't want you to wait until you can't even pray for yourself. I don't want you to wait until you barely get in here and beg them to pray for you. Because you have the power to overcome every day. There's a man of God in the scripture that said that I die daily. I crucify the flesh daily. And yet we go through seasons of grace where we just let no prayer come from our lips. Not even in a day. Daniel lived a very long life, prosperous life, happy life. Lived even to 90 years old. And was documented as praying up to 3 times a day. And you know what? He had enough to give an answer to something nobody else could. We cannot know the will of God unless it's through the Spirit. It's the only way to know. You're praying for a situation. You're praying for direction. You're praying about what to do. And unless you're in His presence, you will not know the way. And if we can't be a church that cultivates the presence of God, then we will lose what we have enjoyed, even here in this place. I've seen members come and go simply because they did not want to come up to where God wanted them to be. I've seen people that had the greatest anointing be trampled down in an instant and be right back out where they used to be before they were delivered because they didn't see the writing on the wall. Don't wait until it's too late, friends, because you may not get another chance to get in the house of God and do what you're doing. There's people that are taken out of here by sickness, disease, tragedy, accident, all kinds of circumstance, but be found doing His will. accomplishing His purpose in your life, because the world needs to see that. Because there'll be children, friends, co-workers, that when they're in trouble, I get made fun of at work because I'm dependable. I was sitting there today, and there was a guy that came over, and he said, "I know who we'll call if something goes wrong." And I said, "Don't call me." One of the guys was joking. He was like, "Oh, you know, Jared, he can make the rain stop, you know." It's nothing to do with me, but it's the substance I have in me. I don't have to brag. I don't have to fight. I don't have to go and tell them that I deserve more, because the one that I serve holds it all. He holds it all. So if you sing and nobody gets up, claps their hands, and praises the Lord, don't you stop. If you come and preach and everybody looks at you like you're plumb crazy, don't you stop. If you come and prophesy a word over somebody and you felt it with all your spirit and they look at you and they're ready to slap you, don't you stop. Don't let what the enemy would cause you to think is a terrible situation, something that you want to run from. The Lord wants us to stop running from trouble and wants to go to it. You read those words in all of 1st and 2nd Timothy, the word pursue. I'm going to go after what hinders me. I'm not going to wait for some magic thing to happen and one day I just get up and say, "Oh, this don't bother me anymore." I'm going after it. And I'm a better man today because I've conquered many things that have needed to change. I don't hold grudges. I don't keep things in my heart. It might bother me for a little while, but God is far of more worth to me than any problem. It's far more worth to me than any substance that I could ever go back to. Praying to the Lord is of more worth to me than having to go out there and write a blog or having to go and tell everybody my problems. It's of more worth to me than just to throw it away and be like everybody else. If I stood myself today next to the person I was before God saved me, I would see a difference. I would see a visible difference. I would hear a difference. And by my choices and actions, I would observe a difference. If you stood yourself up today next to who you were before God found you, is there anything that's different from who you were? Because God doesn't want you to live as you were. He wants you to be greater than that. He wants you to prosper. To redeem means to buy out. It's like looking for those sales in the paper. You got to jump on the opportunity when it strikes. Have you ever seen anybody fight over things at Black Friday? Oh man, it's tough stuff. When they see a good deal, they're going to go after it. But I believe that we have the best sales ad that money can buy. We have the best advertisement that leads us to the best way of peace. And that's what I want to take of. You can choose to do as you wish tonight. I can't choose for you. You can choose to receive this or throw it out on the side and say, "This was not for me." But let me tell you, friend, when you get in a spot of trouble, you will not find my name on the list of people to blame, because I was here tonight trying to do a good work for you. And that's all that I can do, and that's all I know how to try to do. Because I want to be found as one of those that you'll look to and recall that can help you in a time of trouble. Because if you see anything good in me, you know what you're seeing? You're seeing Jesus Christ in my life and how He's changed me from the person I was to who I am. Look over at somebody and say, "You're not the same person you were." You're not. If you've been saved by the blood of the Lamb, you are different. And I see the difference. He made the difference. And I praise Him for it.